Stay away from my donuts. Stay away from my donuts. We're live here at Honeydew Donuts on Acushnet Avenue in the great city of New Bedford, one of Walter Moniz's stores. What a great store it is. Come on down and say hello. We're joined here, as we usually are in this hour on a Friday morning, with Tom Hodgson. Good morning, Sheriff. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Chris. How are you doing?
Great. You had a really successful event last night for, I would assume, your chosen governor's candidate, Mike Minogue. Talk about that. Yeah, what a great turnout you had.
It was phenomenal. The people from all over the county came down, some actually outside the county from up beyond Boston had come to this event. And we estimated about 220 people there. And of course, Mike Minogue did a phenomenal job. People were so excited. Yep. He spent about probably a good maybe 15 minutes speaking about his candidacy, his background, and then he took questions and answers all the way up till, and people would have stayed longer. It ended at 8, but I think it might have gone actually a little past 8. But he was so happy to be there and to have the opportunity to meet people. You know, he walked around,
yes.
he shook people's hands, and talked to them, found out what their backgrounds were, and very, very impressive person. And as we've talked about on the show before, Chris, when I first met him, it was actually with Jimmy DeMello,
mm-hmm.
and at Jimmy DeMello's building. And when he left, got in his car, I went back up to speak with Jim, and he said, "This guy's the real deal."
Right.
And after last night, people were coming up to me saying, "Wow, this guy's really focused on not the politics,
right?
And not on partisan stuff. He's focused on here's what we need to do.
Solutions.
And he's talking about them and talking about, you know, we need to audit this department. We need to make sure that." And he'd already done audits, even before he announced.
Right.
He paid quite a bit of money to have a number of departments audited at the state because he wanted to find out where are the problems.
Yes.
And this is a problem solver. And his background, of course, is amazing.
No, Mike Minogue, who was here on the program yesterday, if you missed the interview, you can certainly go on and check the podcast. I think it's worth your time because what's amazing to me, Sheriff, is we have three really qualified candidates running for the Republican nomination to be governor. In part, I would say because, and these are people taking time out of really successful careers to put all that on hold to run for governor, in part because of the catastrophic job that Maura Healey, who many people voted for, to be the governor.
Yeah, and Chris, that I think that's such an important point. You know, I think people have seen, she did this when she was attorney general as well. Maura Healey is not an administrator, and we can't afford to have a governor who's not an administrator, and it's showing now in the results that we're seeing. She is more of a politician who,
yes.
who pushes everything through a political filter when she's looking at problems that we have here. And that's not what the average person wants. The average person wants solutions to these problems. They want to know specifically, how do we fix it? What are the steps we have to take? Not based on whether or not you're going to get reelected or whatever. You know, Mike Minogue's doing this. He doesn't have to do this.
Right.
He's a very wealthy person. He's a billionaire, but he's got the experience, and he's a problem solver.
He's a graduate of Ranger School, airborne, and he's got a Bronze Star. He earned that in combat. Everyone with a Bronze Star, you can only get a Bronze Star if you're in combat. That's where they give that select award.
Platoon
West Point
leader.
Graduate, yeah, platoon leader, mechanized infantry group, in the first Persian Gulf War, Desert Storm. I heard only great things from people. Bipartisan reviews. A lot of people were there last night. A lot of people heard the interview. I know Lenny Mills, for instance, Rehoboth Selectman, very impressed with Mike Minogue.
Yeah.
I talked to him. We communicated yesterday because he met with him privately, along with a number of the people from the Rehoboth business community. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, he did, and also Rob Johnson, who's also a selectman there.
That's right.
And what's really impressive, and I was in on all the meetings that he had had. He met with the fishing industry for about an hour and a half.
Talk about that.
Yeah, it was. The thing I've always been impressed about with Mike Minogue, when he sits down with anyone, he's got a pen and a piece of paper, or papers, where he's actually asking real questions that What are the concerns you have? What do you feel we need to do? Here's what my recommendation would be, or here's what I think the direction, and here's what I will do. And he sat there for an hour and a half and listened to the scallopers. He listened to the other members of the fishing industry, the ground fishing people, and then we went over to Eastern Fisheries so he could see the dock and where they were.
Sure.
Doing repairs and things like that. But it was a phenomenal meeting. They were so listening to their reactions. And there was I think six or so of them in there, and listening to their reactions, they were so impressed. And hearing their comments back to Mike Minogue as he was really drilling into what are the problems, what do we have to do, how is the wind affecting this, and he has his ideas around what to do from a business standpoint.
Right.
So they were very impressed. He met also with Jay Lanigan, who's a development. Jay, very impressive. As you know,
Jay was very impressed with him.
Yeah, and I think he was very impressed with Jay as well.
He's a
developer and a builder, and he talked all about affordable housing and the problems that people low income can't get housing because
right.
of the electric bills are causing problems for rent.
Crazy situation.
And all of this. Yeah, and these are things that Mara Healey just doesn't address. She creates the problems, and instead of fixing the problems.
Before you got here, Tom, in the first hour, I had Tim Dunn. Of course, you know Tim when he was
sure.
a newsman for WBSM and then went on to work for Fox News and is now at the Boston Herald. He caught the governor. She's blaming Donald Trump for the price of electricity. And then Tim says to her, well, do you have any responsibility for utility rates given that you stopped two pipelines? And she said, I didn't do that. And there they caught it on video. And, you know, that's all over the internet now, all over the Boston Herald. Everyone can check it out at bostonherald.com. It's all there. I mean, the idea that the sitting governor is having senior staffers arrested for cocaine trafficking and is blatantly lying to the media about stuff she previously bragged about. I mean, this is like, we've never seen this before.
No, and when you don't have a specific blueprint for problem solving,
right.
and you're just doing everything and responding to things based on how it's going to affect you politically,
right.
That's the problem.
Yes.
Because you don't have somebody who's seriously concerned and dealing with real issues. How often do you see her ever meeting with her staff? I mean, Mike Minogue, he had 1,000 employees as a CEO.
Right.
He didn't build that company. It took him 19 years to build it. But you know what? He worked through those things and built a hugely successful company that ultimately was bought by Johnson & Johnson. And he started a not-for-profit with his wife to support kids and education.
Yep.
This is a guy who's already using his resources to solve the kind of problems that we're faced with, and he wasn't even in elective office.
It really is amazing. And again, if you want to be involved in this, guys, and why wouldn't you want to be if you listen to this station, get involved with your local Republican town committee. Reach out to the state committee people, Joanne Hodgson, Bob McConnell, who's in Fairhaven. You can call the Republican State Committee, or you can go online, massgop.com, and get involved with the local town committees. And that's how you can become possibly elected to be a delegate at the caucuses. And then go vote. And again, we have three really great candidates in the race. And we should have more opening up for attorney general, treasurer, and of course, lieutenant governor. We really haven't talked much about that. There's a lot of opportunities to get involved. And then the other part, Tom, the bottom of the ticket. In other words, the state rep candidates, the state senate candidates, all of those individuals. I think we're going to have a really bumper crop this year.
I do too, and we're seeing a lot of very, very committed and qualified people who
yep.
want to invest. And this is the great part: these are people that want to change
yep.
things for the better and are willing to give of their time. And the least we can do, if we're not running for some office, is to be there to support them. They're doing it for us. So what a great way to be part of change. Without having to go and do all the extra work they're doing to run for the office.
You know, Tom, I'm looking, who just came through the door. Scott Pemberton
yeah.
just came through the door. And we're going to put him on after we come back. If we
sure.
take a quick break, we're going to come back and we'll have Scott Pemberton recently earned the election to the Ward 2 City Council. Tough fought fight. Had a recount last night, but he survived. I think it's a dozen or Baker's dozen worth of votes. But he's still the city councilor now. They'll swear him in January. Stick around. We'll be right back.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by Dee's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, soda, and a bag of chips for only $5.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back to the program. Happy Friday morning. We're broadcasting live from Honeydew Donuts in Acushnet Avenue in the north end of New Bedford, one of Walter Moniz's stores. Great place. Stop by. We'll be here till noon. You know, plumbing emergencies really don't wait, and neither should you. At Bass Ready Rooter, we treat every call like it's our own home. Our family-owned business has been solving sewer and septic problems since 1974, earning the trust of thousands of families with over 700 five-star reviews. We believe customer service is a lost art, and we're here to keep it alive. Bass Ready Rooter, we may not be your first call, but we'll always be your last. Visit BassReady.com today. We are now joined here at Honeydew Donuts by the Ward 2 City Councilor-elect, Scott Pemberton. You won the recount last night. Congratulations, my friend. Congratulations. How does it feel, Scott Pemberton?
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Thank you. It feels good. It finally feels good after 2 weeks that I can finally officially say I am now the Ward 2 City Councilor-elect.
Dennis Farias will swear you in January, and you'll get... Well, you've been right to work already. You worked really hard. I saw the quote from your mom, and I know it's true because I know a lot of the people that helped you. How much work you did. You went door-to-door to everybody's house, some people 2, 3, 4 times.
I did, Chris.
You worked really hard to win this election.
I did, and that's all was on my mind. I just needed to go door-to-door. Forget everything else, whatever else was going on. Just need to get out there, do the door-to-door, talk to constituents, let them know, see what their needs are, and it paid off.
They gave you the vote. You literally earned the votes. It came down to, what, half a dozen? 12 votes? What is it?
Right, I think it was 16 because in the general election, I won by 17.
Okay.
Last night's recount, I lost one, so... 16.
We'll call it a baker's dozen.
Sure.
Right? A baker's dozen.
Sure.
And why not? Because we're here where they bake everything fresh at Honeydew Donuts on Acushnet Avenue. In the past, I asked you this question. I'll ask you now. You can't do anything alone in the city council, except constituent service. Who do you look forward to working with on that city council?
Well, I mean, all of them.
Okay.
I really do. All of them. You know, you can learn something from all of them. You know, they all come with a special, their own special.
You can learn how to be bitter from the city council president, that's for sure. What did you think of Shane Burgos' really despicable remarks about you? Have you ever met the man?
Well, I've met him, and, you know, I was surprised because,
yes.
I mean, I've run neighborhood meetings,
right.
I do events that he's been to, and I you know, he's always said good job and congratulated me. You know, he did congratulate me on the win, but I was surprised of the reaction.
Yeah.
I wasn't, because I also knew going into this that they were friends, him
right.
and Councilor Jester.
Well, she used to hold
a
bar stool
that.
For him down at Carmine's, I believe. She'd leave the meetings early so the council president would have somewhere to sit, two stools maybe, down at one of the bars downtown. But now that's over.
Well, I mean, if
you don't know how to, you're not going to hold bar stools for anybody,
no,
are you?
No, I'm not.
Thank you, Scott. What an improvement already,
you know,
for Ward 2.
No, and again, I just want to say thank you to my family.
Yeah.
You know, my mom, my sister, my wife. Thank you. Thank you. I mean,
they all stood by you.
They did from the get-go, right from the beginning. Never gave up. You know, even when I was down, they
right.
always had, you know, good things to say to bring me back up again.
There were a lot of people pushing for you, Scott.
No, there was, and I want to say thank you to all of them.
Yes.
All the Ward 2 people out there. And, you know, I just want everyone to know, as hard as I was knocking those doors, is as hard as I am going to work for them, if not even harder.
I appreciate that, Scott. Good luck, and have a nice Thanksgiving and a wonderful
you
Christmas.
Too. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll
thank
see
you
soon.
Again.
I'll see you, soon,
will.
My friend.
Thank
I want
you.
To get your state rep over here now. We now have the state representative from Ward 2, my longtime friend, Democrat Chris Hendricks. What's happening, Chris Hendricks? How are you,
Chris?
Representative?
Nice to see you. Nice to see you, my friend. Thank you. Wow, this is loud.
Yes. Man. We can turn it down.
I guess Scott has bad ears.
Well, I have a bad engineer. I don't know.
No, he's doing great.
He's doing a great job. You're here to haze my producer?
No.
Chris Hendricks. What's happening in the legislature, my friend?
A lot going on. We've been in session all week.
Yeah.
Putting through some bond bills, some bond authorizations. We put out a high red bond bill. We've been busy this fall. As you recall, a lot of criticism was that we weren't informals enough, but that certainly with the new rules and the committee rules, we've been in the building quite a bit. So, but we're off for the next few weeks for the holidays for formal sessions.
Okay.
But committee work and all that will still keep going.
We have Representative Hendricks here in the studio with us. Chris, you've been up there for a little while now. You're kind of getting your
2018.
Yep. 2018.
Yep. I got elected in 2018.
2018.
I was sworn in 2019. So, yeah, I'll be coming on my second year of my fourth term in January.
Okay. What committee are you on these days?
I am the vice chair of Steering, Policy, and Scheduling,
nice.
Which is a process committee, and that's been very interesting working on that committee because, you know, any bill that
goes
through.
Is that a bottleneck committee? Can you bottleneck, bottle up stuff?
Yes. Yeah, and we basically decide with the chair, right. You know, Kevin Honan, on where and when things should go and when they should come up for a vote. And so it's been interesting to work on things that you normally wouldn't, otherwise wouldn't be working on, like home rule petitions for Taunton or
sure.
Western Mass, you know, taking a look at that stuff. So it's been really good work. I just came for, you know, obviously I just want to mention Bruce Oliver. I'm sure you've been talking about
him. Yes, Bruce is a great guy. We just lost him.
His services yesterday and today. What a remarkable showing that was at the wake last night.
Sure.
I mean, it was just, obviously you'd expect the line out the door, which it was, but it's just so many people, so many good memories. What a legacy that guy had.
Youth sports, housing authority, school committee. I mean, just an incredible guy.
The Port Society.
Yes.
I joined the Port Society in, I think, 2014, 2015. And, I had known Bruce and Fred for a while before
Fred
that.
Toomer.
But to see those guys work together and how they just bring people together.
Yep.
They just get things done. The knowledge that they have. The article even met, I think maybe his obituary may have mentioned that he wasn't, they weren't from fishermen families,
right.
You know, but they were the two best guys that they could have been in that position.
Yes.
to save that building, both those buildings, and to have it renovated and look beautiful.
We're speaking with Representative Chris Hendricks, because he represents the city of New Bedford in the legislature. What's going on with the energy? The energy prices. I'm sure your office, your
yes.
constituents are telling you how expensive the prices are.
Yeah, and it's planned to go up even a little bit more from last, not as much as last year, but still up. And so we had a energy bill teed up this week, actually, and we were going to be voting on that Wednesday, which I was fully willing, ready, and able to vote on.
To vote for it?
Yes.
Okay.
Because that bill would have shifted our climate mandates,
yeah.
which, you know, the federal administration makes that. Necessary anyway, so we would have we're not going to meet certain goals, just because of the some of the policy disputes that we have with the current administration, which happens I guess with any administration, and so we're I think the best way to do it now is to go slow, mm-hmm. move cautiously,
right?
Don't say we're going to hit this goal when we know we're not going to, but we also have to balance ratepayers. You know,
yes.
I think that's the biggest thing. So I'm confident that early next year we'll have more time to discuss that bill. A lot of people were thrown off guard because, the climate policy issues, which obviously it's important to us. But at the same time, I think right now we need to balance how ratepayers contribute to what we want to do here policy-wise. And so we can't leave them on the hook the way we did last year.
And you were not part of the legislature that created all this stuff.
Right. Yes.
You weren't. This was all done before you got there.
Yes, like 10 years ago.
Right.
There's a lot. Over 10 years ago, this was going on. A lot of it has to do with the gas pipeline replacement.
Right.
And that's a, $42 billion project. And so we have to figure out a way that we can get that done over time, while at the same time not burdening all of us.
Yeah, because as much as we all care about the climate, we really care about the climate inside our homes. And if it's too expensive for electricity and heating, that's outrageous.
Right. As I always said, it has to be sustainable.
Yes.
You know, and I think the most of the residents here in Mass are willing to pay a little bit to have a good energy policy. But at the same time, we can't burden people the way we have been.
Chris, I see the letters. They come to the radio station to me. I'm sure you get the similar letters.
Of course.
People who want to pay. They can't afford it. And you realize that.
Right. Yep. So we have to address it. So I'm glad people are talking about it.
Yes.
I'm glad it's a thing in the political discourse that people are concerned about. So hopefully that will pressure us to get this done early next year when we come back.
We have a U.S. Senate race going Democrat primary. Have you taken a position yet, Markey or Moulton?
I will be with Markey.
Ed
as
Markey.
I was last year.
Okay.
Last time. And I will be with Trom Nguyen, who's running for Seth Moulton's seat. I came into the legislature with her in 2018.
Oh, really?
And she, I think, was Trom and John Santiago were the three new reps that
year. Now the veterans guy.
Who beat an incumbent. And so she's running for Seth Moulton's seat against, I think it's Dan Coe.
Is Dan Coe in that race?
Yes, yes.
Kamala just endorsed him.
Yes, which was...
But you have endorsed the opponent.
Which was very, you know, quite frankly, I don't think... What does she know about Massachusetts politics, you know? Especially on that level.
Well, you go up there to campaign, you're a hell of a campaigner.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You're better than Kamala any day of the week. And you know what state you're in.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Trump's, she's awesome. She knows how to raise money. Okay. She knows how to get things done. She knows she's built tons of relationships up there. At the state house, so I think she could be a great congressperson for that area.
Representative Chris Hendricks, my friend, longtime friend, long before he was in politics. What are you going to do about those gun bills, Chris? I know you hear from your constituents all the time. Is there anything we can do about the gun bills?
Is the ballot? Are you talking about the ballot?
Well, I know the ballot thing's going to go on.
I say put it on the ballot.
Right.
Bring it to the people.
I don't feel good about that, but I think it's going to get voted down, tell you the truth. But not because of me, but...
Let's just put it this way. I have no objection to it going on the ballot.
Right.
You know, that's all I have to say about that.
But it's really technical legislation.
Yeah, I haven't looked at it. I haven't... Yeah. What bills are you talking about?
The
legislation we put through?
Right.
Yeah, with the ghost guns, that was our main priority.
Right.
I haven't heard of any other gun bills going through other than the ballot question potentially, which I'm, like I said, I'm for. I don't think we worked hard on that bill several years ago, and I think it was a good bill, especially with the ghost guns,
If it goes
on the ballot, then I hope it makes it.
What else is happening up there, Chris?
Pretty much just trying to weather the storm through this winter. Like I said, prices, the sticker shock prices that we felt last year, we cannot have happen again.
Right.
But we
do think they will, right?
Well, they're going to.
Yeah.
They're going to. Again, not as much as last year.
Right.
But last year, it was due to all the policy stuff. All the reimbursement stuff for all the capital projects we've been doing. These increases will become just because of they put in a request in,
right?
And it's just a natural thing that they do, these utility companies. And so we need to make sure that they don't have, you know, that we take a little bargaining power away from them into the future.
Of course, Chris wasn't in the legislature when a lot of this stuff was passed. When they overrode the veto of Governor Baker, that's where a lot of this stuff comes from. And you guys are, in some ways, trying to unwind some of it.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah. And I think that should be our main priority.
Right.
Especially with all this talk about affordability.
Right.
Like, you know, into our credit, and several years ago, we put in, you know, we cut taxes for low income, middle class, and even capital gains taxes. And so I think we can, so long as we keep focused and understand that, you know, not everyone's going to agree with our policy, but at the end of the day, everyone's going to have to pay these rates
right.
to the utility companies.
Right.
And so, so we keep that in mind, we'll be okay, I think.
Chris Hendricks, I always appreciate you stopping by. You're always just a text message
away.
I really appreciate
it. Right down the street.
Thank you, my friend.
All right.
Thank you,
Chris.
So much.
Bye.
Time to come over. Folks, we're down here at Honeydew Donuts, broadcasting live. We got a lot of people coming through, stopping by. You can stop by as well. Honeydew Donuts, it's not just for breakfast. It's also for lunch. They got great sandwiches. And, of course, we have Sheriff Tom Hodgson, as we always do on Fridays in the 11 o'clock hour. So, Tom, have we ever seen a governor this bad? And by that, I mean, I was talking with other guests. The fact that a senior staffer arrested for cocaine trafficking, all the other stuff that's gone on, the price of electricity, caught lying to Tim Dunn, a Boston Herald reporter, about gas lines that she did block. She bragged about it. We've never seen chaos like this. You've been in public policy in Massachusetts for over 25 years. Talk about it.
Yeah, you know, it really makes you understand that someone like that is absolutely in the wrong job.
Right.
When you're not focused every day on the issues and talking about you never hear her really talk about these issues in detail because she's not interested. She uses them to try to make herself more politically appetizing, and who knows what she. I think she, in some ways she probably thinks she can run for a national office. But when I think about going back when she was Attorney General, and it's you can find it online. I remember I was at the processing station, the Border Patrol processing station in McAllen, Texas.
Yep.
And I was with a couple other sheriffs, and we're there trying to figure out, okay, these people are coming across the border, working concert with these guys about what do we, because they're coming into our neighborhoods, not staying at the border.
Right.
So we're trying to talk to them about that and figure out how can we partner together, what do we need to do. She's on the other side of the border the very same day in Mexico saying it was wrong that the United States wasn't allowing these people to come in illegally. And so when you have a leader who, and an attorney general to boot, and they're saying it's not right that the United States won't let these people come in violation of the law, never mind governor, how about as attorney general?
Right.
So if you're willing to do that, it goes to my point. That statement was more about her politics than it was about doing what is right.
Yes.
And what you were elected to do and you took an oath to do to support the people in the state where you're in elective office.
We have, of course, Tom Hodgson with us. We're broadcasting live from Honeydew Donuts, right on Cushion Avenue, just a little bit north of New Bedford. Volk is a landmark for you, one of Walter Moniz's stores. Of course, he has another one in the city of New Bedford, and announced here on the program that he'll be closing on two new shops, one in Rainham and one in Middleborough. So our good friend Walter Moniz is building an empire of donuts, great sandwiches and coffee, and the unique Red Bull drinks that they sell here at Honeydew Donuts. The winter is coming. Make sure you winterize your car. I recommend Mack Auto Sales, a family-owned business right in the city of New Bedford, right in the south end, 188 Rivet Street. Mack Auto Sales repairs all makes and models of automobiles. So if you need to winterize your car or you're looking for somebody new to repair your car, by all means, call Mack Auto Sales and Repair and make an appointment today. 508-565-6221. They're open weekdays 9 to 5. Say you have a foreign car. That's perfect. So does Tim Weisberg. He brings his foreign car to Mack Auto Sales. Why? Because they specialize in servicing foreign-made automobiles. Ask about their aftermarket accessories and their quality used cars for sale at Mack Auto Sales. We're going to take a break and then we'll be right back. Come down to Honeydew Donuts. Say hello. We're broadcasting live.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Good morning. Good morning. We're broadcasting live from Cushion Avenue here at Honeydew Donuts, one of Walter Moniz's stores. What a great place. Everything's made fresh. The coffee, the Red Bull, the donuts, the sandwiches, everything is fresh. Matt's really enjoying it as well. And we have a lot of people here coming through. A lot of people. Is that somebody on hold? Yeah. We're going to go to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for calling or thanks for holding. You're live on the radio.
Hi, good morning, Chris. You know, I was
hey, good morning, Kathy.
Chris Hendrick. But then he was gone. So anyways, I'm just going to bring this up. First, I'd like to congratulate Scott Pemberton. I was thrilled to hear that news, and I wish him all the best. And I know he's going to make some positive changes in Ward 2. So the New Bedford residents, but you know, in my opinion, the sad thing is he should have won by a landslide because of all the hard work he did. So it just shows that, you know, not enough people get out to vote. And I wanted to just clarify when Chris Hendricks was saying that the legislature is going on a few-week recess. No, it's a six-week recess. 6 weeks, okay?
Well, he has trouble with math. We know
vacation?
That.
Vacation?
Well, I do not.
Listen, you know, people need to think about, you know, what these people are making. And in 6 weeks, like, Chris Hendricks is going to get paid $9,466 for being on vacation. The taxpayers need to think about this when they're struggling with their gas and electric bills. And these people are on vacation partying up for the holiday season, and we're struggling. But, you know, along with that, I wanted to ask him, and earlier you were talking about this, how the marijuana, we were lied to. All these cities and towns that put all these pot shops in were lied to, that this money was going to go to the local towns and cities, and it's not. That's another issue that we need to bring up and really start pushing, because it's absurd. And then he made me laugh. Well, we need to get the question about guns on the ballot. Are you kidding me? We put the question to have the state audited, and nothing's happened. So putting it on the ballot means nothing in this state. They, you know, because the people up in Bacon Hill do exactly what they want. So I hope, you know, I pray that Mike Minogue, he sounds like a great guy. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make the meeting last night, but I will attend the next. I mean, I am so happy to hear that we have someone who's a fiscal conservative that's going to maybe take hold of our state and make some changes, because, man, we need it. We need it ASAP.
Well, the people out in your neck of the woods, Rochester, Acushnet, Lakeville, Carver, Mattapoisett, they rejected a Prop 2.5 override. I think that's great news.
I think it's fabulous news. I think it's phenomenal news. And, you know, I owe a lot of help to Mass Fiscal. Mass Fiscal Alliance is a great organization. They helped, you know, support us. And anybody that's not getting emails from Mass Fiscal Alliance needs to sign up to stay in touch with what's going on. Because I still feel, you know what's really sad, Chris? I told somebody in Acushnet about this, and he told his friend, who used to be a public employee, he had no idea that this we were having this vote for the school. They had no idea. So I don't know. There's a lot of problems. How do we get people out to vote, and how do we get the message and the information out to people? Because not everyone is on social media. I'm not on social media. But I was horrified.
I would tell you this.
What's that?
I would say you can text the WBSM app, you can email it to people and tell them, look, this is caller-driven radio. If it's happening in your area, we're probably talking about it. And if we're not, all you got to do is pick up the phone and call me. Because that's generally how I get information. It's from my callers,
Well,
people,
you know,
off air. Like,
go
ahead.
Yeah, you guys should ask the management that they should do a little bit more advertising for you. They should take out some billboards, some bus signs. Start doing a little bit more promotion for WBSM, you know, and start, you know, get it in some of the suburbs and other areas, showing people that hours that the different shows are on and getting more listeners in. That would be I think you need to really even promote yourselves in other media to reach out, be like an octopus and pull some new listeners in. So
I think that's a marvelous idea, Kathy. I will. Thank you, my friend. Thanks for the call. Have a great weekend. Tom, what do you think about the rejection of the Prop 2.5 override? Taxpayers have had enough, right?
They've had enough. And you know, when you think about the amount of waste going on in government, and at a time where we won't have people, the people who have voted for an audit aren't getting the audit.
Right.
Right? And so they don't – the fact that – you're serving at the pleasure of the people, and they tell you what they want, and you say, well, you know what? I know better than you do, and you don't need to know. If everything's fine, why wouldn't you embrace it?
Right.
So the fact that you know that it's not going to be a good result when they audit what's going on in the state, we know there's tons of waste.
Yes.
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. They don't want us to know, but they are quick to say, let's override 2.5. And it's time, I think, for all of us to hold these elected officials accountable and say, look, it's not okay. We asked you for this. We're your boss. We pay your salary. You know, the whole idea, but, you know, the legislature made themselves a full-time legislature.
Right.
Right?
They did.
And yet, I mean, somebody that worked for us at the sheriff's office, if they put in 30 years, they might get, they might have earned 5 weeks after 30 years of dedicated service. The legislature's not in a full-time mode. As much as they claim that so that they could get benefits and things like that,
right.
The fact is, it's time that we hold elected officials accountable and that we recognize that if we're their boss and we're paying their salary, then you have a right to expect a return on your investment. And that's what we aren't getting right now.
We're broadcasting live from Honeydew Donuts on Acushnet Avenue. We'll be here till noontime. Tom, the Democrats have their act together. They do. They put candidates up for every single office. Quite frankly, they win, sometimes by default. It's the Republicans that have to start putting up candidates for office who are going to actually go out and try to appeal to the voters on issues and physically at their door.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. That's exactly what has to be done.
Look what Scott Pemberton, as an example to everybody, just did. He knocked out an 8-year incumbent by going door to door, not once, not twice, 3 and 4 times to someone's door, following up with a tremendous campaign. Of course, he had a really strong team around him.
Senator Kelly Dooner.
Kelly Dooner, same thing.
She's the master of door knocking. She would go, I don't know, I think she knocked on like 3,000 doors 3 different times
right.
in that campaign, and she knew that that was the only way she was going to win.
Yep.
And that's exactly right. You have to go out and meet the people, remind them that you're there working for them.
Yes.
By going out and showing before you even get elected, here's what I'm willing to do in the way of a work ethic. And then I think people are very impressed.
Yes, I agree with you. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back. Remember, we're broadcasting live from Honeydew Donuts on Acushnet Avenue, one of Walter Moniz's shops. We'll be right back soon. Welcome back to the final hour of the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. We're here at Honeydew Donuts on Acushnet Avenue. What a great place. Stop in. They got unique Red Bull drinks here. If you've never had one, you should have one. Really, they are energetic. And the great food here. Of course, everything's made in-house here at Honeydew Donuts. We have Tom Hodgson here in the studio with us, that we usually do during this hour. So, Tom, your successor has been a lot in the news lately. Because of the settling of the lawsuit, which originated under your tenure as the sheriff with illegal aliens. And again, I've maintained the Democrats, the internationalists, they had to get you out of office before they could conduct the invasion, which they did. Once they got you out, Katie barred the door. It was the full invasion. Yeah. And we're dealing with it now. Your thoughts on all that?
Well, look, politics is what it is. We knew. I had one of the largest immigration detention facilities in the country, and I'd been doing it for 25 years holding detainees, and this law, in my professional opinion, this lawsuit never should have been settled. We would have won the lawsuit. The taxpayers unfortunately paid $800,000 that they otherwise wouldn't have had to pay to these individuals.
Illegal aliens.
They're illegal aliens, right. and they.
One of them assault you with a chair?
Yeah, it was a totally unprovoked assault from behind with a chair. As I was talking to one of the detainees who was supposed to be going down to get, who was on the phone, who was supposed to be going down to get tested for COVID, as were the 10 others. That's why I got called back in from home, because I'd talked to this group before and a month earlier on another issue, and they gave me a standing ovation when I left. So I was like, I'll be right there. I know these guys. I'll talk to them. And the 10 that are supposed to go down and get checked, we have to get them out of the unit because they had 2 symptoms consistent with COVID. Didn't mean they had it, but they still had to be checked. We couldn't expose the officers and the rest of the detainees to potential COVID. So long and short of it is, they decided they weren't going to go. They when I went to talk to the other individual, I got hit from behind with a chair. And all hell broke loose. They started trashing the entire unit, cost the taxpayers hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Tom, I want to thank you for coming in. Folks, stick around for Barry Richard coming up next. Again, over the weekend, stop by the Honeydew Donuts, both the one on Conway Street in the south end on Route 18, and, of course, this beautiful store here on Acushnet Avenue, Honeydew Donuts, Walter Moniz's franchise. What a great job that Walter does here. And God willing, I'll be back.